Have your Bibles, you want to turn to Hebrews and the chapter 11, the portion we read together. Hebrews chapter 11, our text can be found at the end of verse 27. Really spoken of Moses, the great man of God. It says, "For he endured, as seeing him who is invisible." For he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. And let's look to the Lord, and you pray, child of God, that God will bless his word to your heart this morning, and bless it even to everyone in the congregation. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God, and we pray that I will bless it to us, Lord. We thank you for the great men of the faith. We thank you for the great examples of how they lived for God, how they trusted thee, Lord, when times were tough. They never lose their faith in the God of their salvation. And give us all that faith that is strong, that faith that rests on the promise of God in thy word, that faith that brings us to Christ, the great rock of our salvation. And so we pray for thy blessing, and we pray for thy help now, as, Lord, we turn to thy truth, write thy word upon our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. He endured, Moses enduring, really a subject that we're just going to look at this morning. In Hebrews chapter 11, each one of us knows, are recorded some of the real acts of the faith of men of God. God has recorded these in order to show us how to live for him, how to trust him when it's difficult, when there's problems and trials come along the lives of every child of God. We are to rest upon the promises. We are to hold on to God. In Daniel 11, verse 32, it says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." And you know, child of God, the more we get to know of this book, we get to know more about God. And when we read the Bible, we can read about the God of our salvation. How great is our God? There is none like the God of our salvation. He is a God of impossibilities. There's nothing he cannot do for us. You know, we can be strong. Instead of being weak, instead of being feeble, instead of feeling, well, I'm going to give up or I'm going to turn back, we have the book, we have the promises, we have the word of God. We can rest upon God's word. Now, in this chapter, you can know yourself that great things were accomplished by faith. Noah built an ark on the day that it hadn't even rained, but he believed the promises of God. Abraham was called to leave his home and to leave his family and to go into a country that he didn't even know where he was going. But he had heard the voice of God. He had heard the voice of Christ saying, "Come and follow me." And he followed him. And child of God, we follow the Lord. There are times we wonder, "Lord, what way are you leading me? And what is really happened to me in my life? But I trust thee, I trust thee. I'm following Jesus. Following Jesus ever day by day." That's what we sing at times. You can write down through this chapter, you'll find the great things that men of the faith accomplished. They came to Moses and told us how he gave up the whole palace and all the possessions and all the pleasures and everything that he could have found in the very palace of Egypt. He could have perhaps been king of Egypt one day. But you know, he loved Christ. He cast it all to the one side. All to Jesus I surrender. Give me Christ. Give me Christ. Is that in your heart this morning, even on saved person? Are you saying, "Give me Christ. I want Christ. I don't want the world. I don't want the pleasures. I don't want the sin of these world. I want Christ in my heart. I want him to be my Savior." Didn't care about the troubles. Moses knew there was going to be trouble. But you know, he did this by faith. The thing the Lord wants us to notice about Moses this morning, about his life, was this. He endured. Now, what do you get that little phrase now? "As seeing him who was invisible." He endured. This word is used nowhere else in the New Testament. And it's only found once in the Greek here in this particular life, instance, in the life of Moses. He endured. Now remember, this is God's record of this man of God. And God has said to us of Moses, this man of the faith, this man who forsook everything for Christ, It tells us here that he endured. And it's only used once. This particular word, here it is. It's used of Moses. It means to be strong, to bear evils. It means to stand with resolution and encourage. It means to undergo dangers. He was strong. He was going to stand. He's like a rock in the midst of the people. When people around him perhaps were falling this way and that way, when people were saying, Moses, we're going to give up, and Moses was like a rock. He's like a rock as he stood in the midst of the people. You know, he endured. He endured. He kept going on with God. And these things that I said to you are written for our learning. There are things you will not be able to do. I'll not be saying to you today, go out and build an ark. You can't do that. Not everybody here is called of God to go out into a country that they don't even know where you're going to. But here's something every child of God can do. Here's a really interesting, a practicality here in the Christian life. It says he endured. And God has said, have a look at Moses. Have a look at this great servant of mine. And you'll see how he's like a rock. And you see how he's strong. And you'll see how he's standing. He's enduring. And God has said, you be like that man. He endured. He stood firm. As you're going to see in a moment, there were problems. There were difficulties. There were disappointments as he was seeking to live for Jesus Christ. But you know something? He endured. He endured. That's what the Bible says. It's what the Holy Spirit of the Lord tells us here about Moses. He endured. And then it says, of seeing him who was invisible. But the first part this morning about Moses enduring. I want to look first of all, when we think of this, at the summary of his problems. Sometimes we think of great problems. Well, I'm going to give you a little summary, in a sense, of the problems that this man of God had to face. Now, he was washed in the blood of Christ. He had a peace in his heart that the world could not give him. He was resting on the rock of ages. He was following Jesus Christ. He was heading towards his eternal city. But he had many, many problems, many trials to face as he made the journey. Think of the summary of his problems. Think of the hostility that he faced. Moses faced great hostility as he sought to live for God. It says here in that particular verse, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of a king. There was somebody hostile to Moses. There was somebody who did not like Moses. Now this is referring to Pharaoh. He hated Moses. He detested the very sight of this man of God. He hated him with a vengeance, you see. He was hostile against Moses. He was hostile against his life. You think of the Pharaoh that lived and when Moses was born in Exodus 1 and verse 16. He put a law out to the midwives of the children of Israel. If a child was born, if it was a son, he says, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. This was the law of the Lamb. This was the law of Pharaoh. And he says, if a son is born, you are to kill the son. Do you think of this? Moses was born at this particular time. This was the time in chapter 2, verse 15 tells us, this was the time, or chapter 2, sorry, this was the time when Moses was born. And what was the law? Pharaoh was saying, kill him, kill Moses, take away his life. In chapter 2, verse 15, it says, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. There again, Pharaoh is after his life. In chapter 10 and verse 28, Pharaoh looked Moses in the eye. And he says, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And he delivers the message himself personally here to Moses. And he says, Moses, if you ever come into my presence, if you ever stand before me again, I'm telling you this, you shall die. I'll take away your life. He was hostile to his life. He didn't like Moses. He sought to take away his life. There was hostility not only against his life, but also against his labors. Moses had the great call of God and the great commission. What to do? To take the children of Israel from the land of bondage. To set them free from Pharaoh, the old evil king that ruled them cruelly. Bring them out of Egypt, says God. Go and bring my people out from the house of bondage. Moses had this high calling, this holy calling, this great calling from God to bring them out. But he was opposed. Pharaoh opposed him every step of the way. It says in Exodus 5 verse 1 and 2, and Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh and said unto and said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And you could imagine Moses and Aaron, they're in before this king, and God says, the God of heaven says, let my people go. He says, I don't know the Lord. Who is this one who's called the Lord? I know not his voice. I know not his word. I don't know the Lord. And he wouldn't let them go. Did you read on there in that chapter? In verse 18, he says, go therefore now and work, for there shall be no straw be given you, and yet you shall deliver your tail of bricks. You're going to work harder, Moses. It's going to get tougher. The people will suffer. You will work for me. You will not get out of this land. The people will not be leaving Egypt. I will not let the people go. You can find here was hostility against his labors. Pharaoh opposed him. He says, you will not leave this land. The people will not go. He broke his promises to Moses. At the time of the frogs in chapter 8, he said, if they take away the frogs, and Moses prayed, and all the frogs were taken away. It tells us there in the verse 15 that he hardened his heart, he did respite. He would not let the people go, you see. And yet, despite of all of this, all the hardships, all the threatenings, all the disappointments, what does God say? It tells us here, he endured. Hostility of the king, hostile against his life, hostility against his labors. I will not let the people go. But he was strong. He endured, God said. He was not weak-kneed. He was not faint-hearted. He endured. Every child of God is to do the same. We have a great enemy, of course, as we live the Christian life. The devil will come against us. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter writes unto Christians who were suffering greatly. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, you see. And he's saying to these people, beware and to watch. The devil is going about. He's out to take away your life. He's out to destroy your testimony. He's out to destroy your family. Everything about you. He's like a roaring lion. He's out to get you. And every child of God has this battle. Hostility against us. It happens, of course, at our birth. Remember, Moses was born, and immediately he was brought into this world. There was this hostility that came against him. And we can say, child of God, that after we were saved, there was this hostility came from the devil, and all his fallen angels, they would come against us and fight against us every step of the way. Maybe today, a child of God in this meeting, you're feeling the battle, the fierceness of the battle, the hostility, the temptations, the desires that rise up within you. The devil is attacking you. There's this hostility of our life. Hostility against our labors. What is our labors, of course? It's to see people brought free. See people brought to Jesus Christ. See people washed in the blood of Christ and turn to the Lord Jesus with all of our heart. We're to go into the world and all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But it's not always easy. Many battles to fight. Many disappointments for the child of God as we go out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does the devil not steal away the seed of the word of God? Did the Bible tell us that in the great parable in Luke chapter 8? In verse 12, those by the west side are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Not a tremendous thing. An awful thing. The preacher of the gospel, he's preaching about Christ. He's saying to people, come to the Lord Jesus with all of your heart. Repent and believe the gospel. And the old devil's coming and he's taking away the seed and he's stealing the seed from the very hearts of the unconverted. The unconverted in this meeting. The devil's been taking away the seed out of your hearts for years. You've never come to Christ. You've never repented. You've never believed in the Lord Jesus with all your heart. The devil leaving today is reach and take forth the seed. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18, Paul could write to those people. He says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But he said this, Satan hindered us. He realized this is hostility. This enemy that he had to face, the devil, you see. But we are to endure, you see. Moses faced hostility from the king, and we face hostility from the devil in our labors. There's hostility also from his enemies. After he brought them out of Egypt, what a tremendous day it was when he brought them out, brought them towards the promised land, through the Red Sea. The Bible tells us in Exodus 7 and verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Here's another problem for him. Hostility from his enemies. Could you imagine Moses? He's coming out. He thinks, well, everything's fine. The plagues have fallen down upon Egypt. Pharaoh and his soldiers. They're drowned in the very depths of the Red Sea. And we're through the sea. And the song of Moses. And everything is going well for Moses. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. Here's more wars and battles. He has to fight against the enemies of God. The enemies of the people of God is coming against them. This man of God, there's one battle after another battle. Another enemy arises against him. But he endures. And that's what God is saying to us. He endured. In Numbers 21, you have the Amorites coming. And fight against Israel again. Another battle, another enemy, another war has to be fought. Oh Lord, we're heading towards the promised land. Have we not had enough troubles? Have we not had enough trials? Oh, here's enemy after enemy coming against Moses. But he endured. And that's what God is saying. Not our eyes is put upon the enemies or the battles, but on this endurance. Opposition. Do you know, child of God, that there's much opposition against you to seek to live for Christ? 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It will be no other way. We're not beliked in this world. And I know in this province we're blessed at the moment. And maybe someday persecution may arise. Throughout the world, there's much persecution against the believers in Jesus Christ. They tell us, I was reading it the other day, in North Korea, it's the worst place to live as a Christian. They reckon perhaps there's 400,000 to 500,000 Christians in North Korea. They have to live underground. 400,000 to 500,000 are secretly practicing their faith. And so they're not really coming out in the open. We can come here today in our motor cars and our short sleeves, come in here and sing the praise of the Lord and worship the God of our salvation. And we can come and we can preach the word of God. But over there, they can't do it. It's really underground, they tell us, church. 200,000 the underground churches. I read in Iran about Christians that lifted and arrested. You know what they did? They had church in their house. That's all they had. They met together to worship God and to read the Bible, and they were lifted. Four of those men got 44 months in jail. That's what they did. In India, and a little village there in India, we came across a story about the Christians are not allowed to trade in the society, and there's a well, there's a water well for the villagers, and they're not allowed to use it. And so the Christians went away down to the river and to take the water out of the river, and the rains came and the river became muddy, and so they cannot go out and buy food and they cannot get water. And why is this? Because of all their enemies. The enemies is coming against them. They're saying, we don't want Christ, we don't want anything to do with Christians. But you know the amazing thing about that? They're enduring. They're enduring, you see. They're going on. And that's what persecution can do to the church. Instead of destroying it, you know, it strengthens the church. It makes you strong. And you know, child of God, all of these battles maybe you're facing and the trials that's coming against you, it's not out to wreck you. It's not out to destroy you. It'll make you strong. It'll build up, in a sense, your spiritual muscles for God. You'll endure. You'll go through it. There's Moses, the man of God. Enemies is coming against him from all sides. Everything seems to be against him. The hostility that he faced. Hostility not only from the enemies, but from his family. In Numbers 12, verse 1, it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." And here, right, his own family, Aaron and Moses, perhaps his jealousy is coming in. Moses, the man of God, God's revealing himself to Moses and giving Moses great messages. And Aaron and Moses is speaking, Miriam is speaking against Moses. Has not the Lord spoken by us as well? But here's hostility. Where's it coming from? It's coming from his family. They're against him as well. And you go through the Bible and you will find the divisions in families. You take a Cain and how he slew Abel. Jacob had his Esau. Then Joseph had his brethren that came against him. Did the Lord Jesus not say in Matthew 10 and verse 36, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household"? You're going to face opposition. You're going to face hostility. Where's it going to come from, Lord? Lord, shall I tell you where it's going to come from? Your own household. Father, mother, son, daughter, whatever the case may be. I said the Christians here this morning, those who saved, are you facing hostility from your family? I trust it's not the case. I trust it's not true of any young people here. You're causing problems to your mom and dad, upsetting them. Hostility. Why are you causing it? Because of Christ. Our parents against our children, whatever the case may be. But Moses, what I'm saying to you, the hostility that he had to face. And even from the congregation, number 16, Korah and his men rose up against Moses again and stood and spake against Moses. Now, no matter where he looked, we're finding here this man, he's enduring. Pharaoh, the enemies, his family, and the congregation, they're against Moses, but he endured. He endured here the hostility that he faced. He's like a rock in the midst of it all. The Lord does not promise us an easy road to heaven. Trials, opposition, hardships will besiege us nearly in every step. But we're called to endure. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, he endured in Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's a different word, by the way, for endured. The moment we're looking at Moses, what it means, the same thing. He endured the cross. It was not easy. The Lord Jesus Christ was hated. Herod set out to take away his life. He was slandered. He was blasphemed against. He knew when he went to Calvary that the sins of sinners would be placed upon him. He knew the wrath of God would fall upon him. But here's the great thing about Christ. He endured. He endured it all. The Lord Jesus says the gates of hell will be against the building of a church. But we are to endure. And this was a hostility that he faced. But then I want to speak about the iniquity of a sinful people. He had to endure that as well. Now, everybody likes a good congregation. And I would say of Moses probably had the worst congregation that probably was going. He did say to the people in Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 and exhorted them with all his heart, because remember, Moses, a man of God, he loved God. He followed God with all of his heart. And he was always exhorting the children of Israel to do likewise. And he says to them in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." And Moses is exhorting this people, here's what I want you to do. In fact, here's what God wants you to do. You're to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. Love God, he said to the people. But it was not the case. He says to this people in Deuteronomy 9 and verse 24, "Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you." And he's telling the people right to their face, and he's telling the people the truth. "Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the very day that I knew you." You see, the iniquity of this people, he had to endure. You read Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, you'll find while it was a great church in many ways, there were a lot of sin and other problems. There were divisions and lusts and fightings and different things. But Moses' congregation, what he had to endure as he sought to lead them towards the promised land, what he had to endure as he sought to teach them God's word and the truths of God's word, what he had to endure with his people as he exhorted them to follow the Lord with all of their heart, it was terrible. You think their grievous sin recorded in Exodus 32, Moses only up into the mountain to meet with God. And it tells us when they're up there in the mountain that they made a golden calf, and they said around the calf, "These be the gods of Israel that brought you out of the land of Egypt." And there they were dancing around the calf, worshipping this idol. Remember, Moses is alone with God. Remember, here's a man who's seeking this people to follow the Lord with all of their heart. There they are. They've made a golden calf. Could you imagine the pain that would cause the heart of Moses when he saw it? Imagine we turned up next Sunday and there's all the congregation, the Reverend Patterson are there. We come down to church and we look, and the whole congregation is a calf built out there in the middle of that yard, and there you are worshiping the golden calf. Can you imagine the heart of God would bring to the session of a church and to a minister of the church? That's such a thing. But that's what happened. That's what happened with Moses, the man. That's what the people did. Of course, they slandered Moses as well. They murmured and complained. In Numbers chapter 11, they were murmuring about the food that they were eating. We remember the garlic and all the things that we used to eat down in Egypt. They have brought us out here, and all we have is this bread. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 to 4, you'll read that there was no water for the people to drink. And they said to Moses, "You brought us out here to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. You brought us out here to kill us." Could you imagine? All these people complaining. "What have you brought us this way for? Why are we out here? We have no food. We remember how it was down in Egypt. We have no water." But he endured. He endured. They fired all the flak at him, but there he is like a rock. He endured. What about the unbelief of the congregation? Numbers chapter 13, when he sent the spies in to look at the land, and they came back with the evil report. It says in Numbers 14 and verse 2, "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." And they didn't believe the promise of God. And Moses says, "Get into that land and look and see what the land is like." And they come back with this evil report. And you know what happened as a result of that? They were told to stay in the land for 40 years. Could you imagine the disappointment that would have been felt to the very heart of Moses? He had brought the people out of Egypt. He had brought them through the sea. God was leading towards the promised land, and soon they could get into this land. And God comes and says, "Listen, you're not going in for 40 years. Could you imagine? Could you imagine you and I as a congregation about to make a move into the promised land, and then somebody did something, I come up here on Sunday and said, 'Listen, by the way, we had to stay now for 40 years. Your heart was sinking into your boots, as we would say. But he endured. Think of the problems he had here. The whoredoms of the people in Numbers chapter 25. It tells us about the great sin of the people dwelling among the wicked. They started to become like the wicked. Numbers 25 and verse 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people that eat and bowed down to their gods, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Oh, can you imagine this man of God, Moses, there he sees the people running after these idols, running after these wicked and sinful people. God had said, you're not to join with these people. There he watched them running after these gods and after these wicked people that lived in sin. There they are, joined themselves with the people of Peor. But he endured. And what I'm saying to you, Moses didn't get it easy. That's why the Holy Spirit of God says he endured. He endured. When we look here at the iniquity of the people, the problems, the murmuring, the complaining, the sin, the rebellion of all that these people did against the Lord, as this man sought for them to follow God and to love God, he was grieved. But he endured. You know, people can give you a lot of problems. And I do pray for any in the congregation that you'll not be such a person. That you'll give problems to the leadership of the church or any church. I will seek to do that which is right and live for God in each day and age. I heard of a minister one time, I'll not name him, but he was telling me, or the student was telling me, the student went telling me, he says, son, the Lord's called me to be a preacher. The minister took him by the hand, he just shook him. No, he said to him, he says, you're not having troubles to seek. I didn't think much of that advice, by the way. But that's what the minister said to him. You're not having troubles to seek if your God's called to be a minister. Because no doubt that man had many battles throughout the years. Many troubles. Many trials dealing with people. He's only been honest with the young lad, it's going to be difficult. And while it's good to go and preach the gospel and serve the Lord, you'll find there'll be problems. Because you walk with people and we can all be part of the problem. You have to confess that. There's always problems. Moses endured. Also, can I think the activity of his service? Moses labored greatly in the work for the Lord. His workload was very heavy. Much time and strength had to go into the service. It was no easy task to be a ruler of this people. It was no easy task to be continually seeking to guide them into the ways of the Lord. And he labored fervently every day. Think of the very period of his service recorded over to us there in Exodus chapter 18 when his father-in-law came to see him. In Exodus chapter 18, and verse 13 to 18, it tells us, verse 13, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he had done to this people, he says, what is this thing that I doest to the people? Why sinnest thou thyself alone? And all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening. And so he comes and he rebukes him. Why are you doing this? But I want to say this about this. All day Moses was serving the Lord. There he sat, and the people were coming from all directions. Every time he looked, there's another one coming with this problem. There's another one coming to Moses with this problem. And they're coming to Moses time and time and time again, all day long, every day, except the Sabbath. What he endured. A lot of pressure was placed upon him. He was feeling the pressure one time when he said in Numbers 11, verse 14, I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. The period of his service, what about his prayers and his service? When there was a problem, you'll find, where did the people go to? They went to Moses. It says in Numbers 21 and verse 7, after the people had sinned against the Lord and the serpents had bit them, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents for us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now you think of this. Here are people coming to Moses. And it's their own fault, their own sin, and their own trouble. And they come to Moses. And they say to Moses, pray for us. They're looking for Moses now. but you want to see the picture of his service. He's burdened down with the work. A lot of pressures are placed upon, a lot of responsibilities upon his shoulders. And when trouble comes, they run to Moses. Of course, he had his failures when he smoked the rock. Of course, he felt his weakness in the work. In the book of Exodus 3 and verse 11, he says, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh?" He said, "Lord, I am nobody. I cannot really speak. Pharaoh will not listen unto me." And he had all the weakness that every one of us feels in the work of God. What he endured. He endured. And maybe you feel the pressures or something in your life, trials, troubles, problems, in the work, whatever the case may be, child of God. But I want you to remember the little thing that's said here, that about this little thing that's a great blessing, that's a great encouragement to all of us. He endured. He was strong. Have you the same problems as Moses, the same difficulties, the same opposition, the same hostility, the activity in their service? Have we the same responsibilities of a multitude of people to look after and to seek to guide into the truths of God? No, I don't think we have. But we are to endure whatever God has laid upon you, whatever it may be. Take up the cross, says Christ, and follow me. Now, that's the summary, just a quick summary of his problems. All of those things, one after the other, put them into the scales. I would say they are so heavy. Put them into the heart of any one of us. They would burden us. I would say tonight, or this morning, they would break us. They would bow us down to the very dust of the earth. But there's Moses, and he's standing upright. He's so strong, he endured. And the answer is next week, we'll look at how he endured. Well, I'll just name it to you. For he endured a seeing him who is invisible. There's the secret of his power. There's the secret. How could he be strong? How could he endure all of these things? He saw God. He kept his eye on the Lord. Now we'll develop that more next week. But that's the secret, child of God, for you. You have maybe this morning, you have put your eyes on your troubles and your trials and the disappointments and the difficulties. Get your eyes onto God. Look onto him. And that's a different picture. And we'll see how Moses did this next week. That will help us to be the same. And listen, to help us to endure. And to live for God and to be strong for God. In this day and age, if you're unconverted, we would ask you to look to God, not for strength, but for salvation. And turn from your sins and come and put your faith and trust in Christ, even this very day. Trust him with all of your heart, and he will save you, and he will give you everlasting life. Amen. We're going to sing together a couple of verses of 445. Sing the first and last verse, 445. It's not an easy road that we are traveling to heaven, for many other thorns on the way. Reminds us of what we are to endure. So we'll sing the first and last verse of 445. Father in heaven, we thank you for your help and your presence with us. We pray that your word has been encouragement to your people to endure whatever the Lord has laid upon us. We thank you for the lesson of endurance. And we thank, Lord, next week about the secret of his power. How could he do it? He saw him, seeing him who is invisible. We pray that we'll get our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I pray for the blessing of the triune God to be upon us, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And rest and remain abide upon every one of us, Lord, and keep us safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.